Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What up, motherfuckers? It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
We're Rhino Snake, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband. Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
Check.
Here we go.
Now we're on. Welcome to the Real Ass Podcast Wednesday show. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez. This was the number one song in 1982?
Yes.
February
24th. Can you hear me?
Today's not February 24th, and I can hear you.
Oh, February 27th. February 27th, JBO Band 1982.
My memory has just been sold. Centerfold.
My angel is a centerfold. I like this song.
Classic.
You know, it's very positive.
Yeah, he wants to fuck a girl in Playboy.
Hell yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
We all did.
Yeah.
We all did.
Pre-internet porn, so you had to look at a magazine.
Hell yeah. My mom used to let me have Playboys. I used to have a Playboy subscription that would come to my house.
What?
When I was like 14, 13.
She signed up?
She didn't give a shit. My mom bought me my first dirty magazine. Gallery.
What?
Gallery magazine.
I don't know Gallery.
Well, that just came free when she was in it.
Yeah.
She was autographing copies.
She was on the cover.
Welcome to the Real Ass Podcast.
She was way in the back.
Oh, no, yeah. She was actually one of the 800 numbers in the back.
There was a black box over her eyes.
Uh-huh.
I used to jerk off to every picture in a porno magazine. I would use every part of the animal.
Yeah.
So I would go to the back with like the 800 numbers. Like each girl would get their own time with me because it was so limited with the porn. I would. So every girl in the magazine would get it. You know,
use all of the muffalo.
Yeah, the muffalo. Every part of the muffalo. But then I would get to the 800 numbers. I would get to other girls just that were in the magazines and advertisements.
Yeah.
And that was it. And then eventually every page would have cum on it.
Sure. It would get crinkly and sticky.
There was like a weird thing where I wouldn't come on it for a while, though. I was like, I need to save this for a minute. Because once you jizz on it, you're saying I'm done with whore.
Why would you jizz on the magazine?
Just got to give it to her.
Oh, you want to put it on the lady.
You got to put it on the lady. Well, once you've decided that you're done with her, though.
But by that logic, you would be jizzing on a screen also.
Yeah, obviously. That's what I do.
That's why this laptop won't open.
I wouldn't touch my computer if I were you guys.
All right.
I wouldn't touch any window in the studio if I were you guys.
Oh. What about Shannon? Or Ralph.
If you guys want, you could just jerk off on the producer window and just right onto Shannon. I would do that too when I would go to those porno booths. When I started coming to New York City, I would get off the train at Port Authority at 42nd Street. And all along, yeah, it's fine, Shannon. You can turn it off now. All along 42nd Street, this is post Giuliani. So there was no prostitutes or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But what they would have is they would have
tired Dominican women behind glass.
Yeah, behind a glass. Just like Shannon.
Right.
So, and then they would shake their tits and, you know, and play with themselves. And it was, you know, $5, the window would come up for like a minute or two and then it would go back down. And you would just angrily jerk off with these women and you would shoot it onto the window.
Oh, wow. So was the window cloudy and shit from years of jism? Just,
I mean, it looked like a fucking, like an old dog's eye. It was just milky.
It was like a memory from your childhood of a movie. Like,
it's a flashback in a Christmas story.
Yeah, that's what it was like.
Shoot your eye out, kid.
Shoot your eye out.
Shit. Dude, man. And you would literally come on these windows, and these poor girls, they were just fucking...
Yeah.
Just have to watch the other perspective of watching jizz like smack up against
right.
a window. It has to be horrifying.
Of course.
You have to hope right under the window there's just like telenovelas playing and she's not looking at you at all.
It's funny how at a zoo or like a vet, they say like don't tap on the glass. But with these Dominican skanks, they're like, yeah, jizz on it.
Yeah, just
there's
come.
No rules.
Yeah, why would you? You know, but that was it. That was, I wanted to write Or I started writing a show or a cartoon about a guy who worked in one of those booth shops as the jizz mopper.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's an untapped market.
Yeah, never came to fruition.
We had taxi driver. He was he would wipe the jizz out of the back seat of the cab.
Is there a lot of jizz in the back seats of cabs?
Oh yeah, in the 70s. That'd be a place you hooked up.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
And especially he drove a cab in Times Square, so that was like hooker central.
Exactly.
Thing. Yeah, I've hooked up in cabs plenty of times. I guess it was before cell phones were a regular thing, before Uber, because you can't just fuck a chick in an Uber now. Now it's, you know. But we would hook up in the back of cabs all the time. I remember one time I just met two random skanks. I was like, let's get into a cab and just you guys can both blow me in the cab as we drive around.
Yeah.
And they did it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. And the guy was furious.
They started a podcast.
I got blown in the back of a cab, and the cab driver flipped, and he pulled over. He's like, not in my cab. No, no, no. And, like, threw us out. And my dick was still out. He, like, yanking my arm.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Right on 14th Street.
Not good. Not good. I banged a, I don't want to be too descriptive.
Please do.
A
fatty?
I was all right, I'll say this. I banged a
man.
I'm just waiting for the waitress at place where people go to laugh.
Right.
No, it was a contestant on America's Next Top Model. I won't say what season. I won't say what she was a winner. But that's all you get.
What?
In the back of a cab.
How long have you been calling RuPaul's Drag Race America's Next Top Model?
In the back of a cab. I met her at a comedy club one night and she's fucking
what?
Yeah, it was great.
You must have not performed.
What? I was the door guy.
Yeah, okay.
I was, yeah.
Wow, congrats, man.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was my highest profile ever banging, and also in the back of a cab.
Yeah.
And I remember she got out. She was so strikingly gorgeous that I remember she got out of the cab. The cab driver just watching the whole time in the mirror. I remember making eye contact with him in the mirror at one point and being like, right? And he was like, right?
Uh-huh.
And then she left, and he was like, dear God. Wow.
Good for
sir.
You.
Yeah. So, cab.
Yeah, well, you know, you're not the only one, all right? One time I got blown by a homeless girl on a Greyhound bus.
Hey, all
right. We're all putting up numbers, right?
That counts.
Shit. I really did enjoy.
Who's the winner in that situation? Her or you?
The bus.
All right.
Yeah. Look, we have an amazing show planned today. Real Ass Podcast. It is a Wednesday morning. What are we up against today, Shannon? What's going on in the world?
And it's not very active in history on this very day, but in 1997 in Ireland, divorce became legal.
What? That long?
That's it?
1997.
You couldn't get divorced in Ireland before 1997?
Not legally. I guess because they're so religious.
They're Catholic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And ugly.
That is true. You know,
tiny dicks.
There is a. They're not a very good looking people.
No, they're pale and sickly, redhead, freckle.
Yeah, I mean, every once in a while you get like an attractive Irish girl, but it's more like she's attractive for an Irish girl.
Well, you know, there is the green eye, black hair might be the hottest combo, and that's Irish.
That's black Irish. That's black Irish,
right?
Yeah. They'll throw you out of the house if you're black Irish.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I would say Irish is probably the ugliest of the whites. And no offense to the Irish fan base. I know I have a lot of listeners out in the UK from the Believe You Me podcast. Which, really quick, let's get the plugs out of the way before we even start today's show. Let's get these plugs out of the motherfucking way. Mark Norman, what do you got to plug? What's coming up, my friend?
I got a lot of big dates coming up. If you're in Philadelphia, I'm there tonight. And Sunday night, and then next week I'm in Tempe, Arizona. I'm in Madison, Wisconsin. I got a ton of fun dates. MarkNormanComedy.com, and check out Tuesdays with Stories on the iTunes.
Hell yeah, you guys got a great podcast, Tuesdays with Stories.
We might be doing a live ep at Skankfest.
Whoa!
Edit it out. It's not a lock.
Who the fuck said anything about that? Who knows who's gonna be at Skankfest this year?
Oh shit! Sorry, I thought it was all.
Who knows who's gonna be at Skankfest this year?
I thought it was out.
Zach Amico.
Twitter and Instagram, Zach is not funny. Check out my other show here on the network, Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show. Every Friday at midnight, comics talking shit while we watch a horror movie.
Hell yeah. Guys, I got a couple other pods on the network. Legion of Skanks, Believe You Me, all available here at GasDigitalNetwork.com. By the way, if you subscribe to Gas Digital Network, you get over 5,000 hours of content on demand at your fingertips whenever you want. Latest 15 episodes are on iTunes and YouTube, but you can get every episode we've ever done, over 350 episodes of The Real Ass Podcast, whenever you want, in HD, ad-free, uncensored, at your fingertips. Use the promo code RAP at GasDigitalNetwork.com. Go to iTunes right now, leave us a 5-star ranking, positive review. One reviewer every month we give away a free piece of merch to, which is fucking incredible. And all the new merch available right now at merchpump.com/RAP. Hoodies dropped $10. Hoodies just dropped $10. We took over all of the printing and processing for everything. We are up and running at Merch Pump, guys. Go buy a hoodie right now. Go buy a t-shirt. Go buy a mug. Mugs came down a few dollars as well. Everything you got, the savings are directly passed on to you guys. We don't fuck around, guys. It's all about the fans. It's all about you guys supporting us. So you guys go do that right now. Merchpump.com/RAP. Grab a t-shirt or grab whatever. Grab a Tuesdays with Stories shirt.
Yeah, they're up there. Chipotle style. They're
fuck
all there.
Yes.
Oh, you know what would be a good idea for a dude since you're making shirts? Get a shirt with the hottest girl you fucked on it and just wear that.
That's it.
That would be fun. So you'd be walking down to like Whole Foods, be like, damn, well done. Yeah. Because they see your shirt.
Yeah.
I already know mine.
Yeah, who's the hottest girl you fucked?
I can't tell you.
Is it
but
the one chick that I think I know of, celebrity bitch?
Yeah, yeah.
You got in trouble for that.
I got in trouble, so let's squash it.
You got in trouble
it
for talking about it.
Also, I don't want Zach to get in trouble with the hobo lady.
Thank you.
She's on a train somewhere going, ah, I'm riding the rails. That fat fuck won't shut up. Kiss and tell.
And Stallone's going to throw her off of it.
Have you banged a lot of like famous chicks?
Not really, no. But
I got a few under my belt.
Really?
Not a bunch. I probably got three or four what would be considered famous.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we talking? Like model types or like Oprah or who are we talking?
No.
Podcast on Gas Digital.
Yeah. Yeah. What is famous?
I'm talking about whether actress, model, you know, whatever. I'm not giving any more.
Nobel right. Peace Prize winner.
Yeah.
I don't fucking
Amanda Knox.
I don't, what do they call that? Kiss and
Bobbit.
Tell.
All right.
Kiss and tell, you know? But you got in trouble with the chick. What happened with that? You told the story on the podcast back in the day.
I told it on Ari's pod.
And you mentioned by name?
No, I'm not that stupid, but
what'd
I kept it very vague, and these Reddit skanks are so goddamn rabid that they figured it out just from clues.
How would they figure it out?
Well, I said where we were, and I said what time it was, and yada yada, and they figured it out.
She's hot too.
Oh.
She's an under the radar hot chick. Oh. You don't even realize it when you like from her character, whatever she plays
yes
on TV.
Oh, Leslie Jones.
No, that I would brag about.
Oh shit,
that's like a feat. But no, it was the highlight of my life, and we did it a bunch.
Oh, and then she got what'd she say when she got mad at you? How'd that happen?
She was like, "What do you come about, like?" She was right. She was like, come
on, 100% right.
Yeah.
What are you,
like,
a fucking dork?
Yeah, but I was like, I didn't say your name. I didn't know.
Your first time at the fucking ball? What do you mean? It's, yeah, I'm a hot, famous chick.
Yeah.
And you fucked it up.
I fucked, but I tried to not fuck it up, but it still got
it's sort of what
up
happened with Pete Davidson and Ariana Grande.
What happened there?
Well, I think that a big part of why they didn't work out was because Pete hadn't, he treated her like, he put her on such a pedestal. And women don't really want that.
Sure.
Women want to be treated like dirt a little bit. Not necessarily. It's not. It's sort of a general saying, right? It's not that women want to be treated like dirt. But women want you to be the commodity.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And when you're as hot and as famous as Ariana Grande, it's very hard to be the commodity there. It's almost like a swagger you have to fucking have. He had that big 10-inch dick. He popped it inside of her. She was like, whoa, this is crazy. He's famous. He's got his own confidence. But then I think he started wearing it on his sleeve too much, how much he thought she was hot. He was talking very publicly about she's the hottest girl ever that he would ever fuck. And he was so smitten. And it was, I think the charmingness of that wears off with women very quickly.
Oh, I completely. Every girlfriend I've ever had, when I start getting too lovey, the sex fizzles.
Yes.
A little bit.
Yes. You need to, you know, it needs to be a little bit, if you're a little distant, if you're a little like,
she's worried you're cheating, maybe
yes,
a little. All that
you
shit
need to sort of take yourself away a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, the best time in any relationship that I've ever had is when me and Kim were long distance.
Ah.
It was because as soon as I was back, you know, she was all over me, just nonstop.
Yeah.
And it, you know, you sort of, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Sure.
It was so great during that time. Not that it's not great now. It's just a different type of great now. Look, we live together now. It's incredible. We have this amazing home. You know, she's great to my son. My son fucking loves her. But I think about that. It was the only time I ever did a long distance relationship. And I was like, that was a really, really big component as to why we were so into each other.
It's funny because everybody says that's what ends relationships.
No, long distance.
But with you, it helped.
Long distance, I think, is the way to go. I think it's the way to go. If you can do that and you can somehow make it. I mean, you have to have the means to be able to see each other.
Right.
Like, I'm in a position now where I can fly across the country, you know, pretty regularly, or fly her here or whatever it is. If you're broke and you can't get out to LA 5 times a year, then I guess it's not really going to work.
Yeah, yeah.
But so what happened? So she hit you up and she was like, well, you're an idiot.
She was like, she messaged me like, dude, what are you doing? Like, this is crazy. And, you know, I'm a retard from New Orleans. I don't know the rules. I'm not a cool guy. So I was just like, oh, shit. It's like kids in high school fucking the quarterback and the cheerleader. They keep it hush hush. I was like, no, I want people to know.
Of course.
You know, so I blew it. I was a nerd. And I let it out of the bag. No, then we banged again like
banged
a year
again.
Later. Yeah, a year
you
later.
Banged again.
Well, I'll tell you, we're giving away too much. These fucking cunts on the internet. These worldwide webs are going to kill me. Because that's what they do. They ruin your life. Let me fuck her again for us.
Yeah, for everyone.
Yes.
Live vicariously through Mark Norman.
Exactly.
That's a thing. You know, people shit on me all the time. And they're like, Lewis is a fucking moron. He can't speak. He's a terrible broadcaster. You know, he's not funny. He's an idiot. He's fucking smells bad. They say all this stuff.
Sorry about that.
But if you believe that, wouldn't you look at me and go, wow, I'm inspired. This guy's made a whole fucking career out of this shit.
I like that.
And he's not even good at it.
Right.
Like,
you're listening right now.
Yes. And they're listening. So how are you not inspired by that? How do you not see that and go like, fuck, dude, he knows something. There's something that he is doing.
Right.
And you should try to pick that apart and go, fuck me. All those people that hate me, you should be thanking me for the inspiration that I'm giving you in your fucking lives.
Right. Not to mention, shit, I lost my train.
It's okay. I still got to plug something else. Real quick.
Plug.
Real quick, guys.
I'll think of it.
Got a couple dates coming up. March 10th, I'll be in Toronto with Michael Bisping. Grab your tickets at Ticketmaster.com. It is this big hybrid podcast, stand-up variety type show. We might fight each other at the end. Who knows what's going to happen in Toronto? It's going to be pretty fucking nuts. March 10th, grab your tickets right now. That's just right around the corner.
Oh, I got it back. All right.
March 4th, grab your tickets for Skankfest. Skankfest is happening June 21st through 23rd. March 4th, tickets are officially on sale. We're announcing a bunch of comedians, a bunch of shows, a lot of amazing stuff happening. This year, Skankfest will be three
Ooh-wee.
Full days. Non-stop partying, non-stop shows, podcasts, events. We are taking the entire festival, turning it on its head. All the things that you guys have loved about the past 3 years, we are expanding on them. Anything you guys hated, we took it out. We fucking shit on it out back. SkankFestNYC.com is the website. Grab your tickets March 4th, 12 noon. Do not miss out. It's going to sell out. 50% of the tickets are already gone. Before we announce a single comedian, 50% of the tickets are already gone in pre-sale. Do not wait. March 4th is the date to grab your tickets for Skankfest, which will be June 21st through 23rd this year. Also, March 20th through 23rd, I'll be at Uncle Vinny's down the shore with Justin Silver. And April 12th, I got a gig in Connecticut. I got to post that information. I forget the name of the place, but I will be posting that very soon. If you're in the Connecticut, New England area, come out and check out that show. Myself, Kim Congdon, and a couple other amazing comedians.
Can't wait for Skank. You know, you're up against Clusterfest.
I know. They fucked us.
Did they?
They fucked us right in our ass.
They had a date after you, I guess?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
we announced our shit. But it's funny. It's because I don't really give a shit.
It's West Coast.
It's West Coast. It's not the same thing. There's no other festival like this.
No, it's a rowdy, fun,
It's just different. The best way to describe it, it's a comedy party. It's a party. We have one venue. You were there last year, right, Mark, for the new venue?
So fun. I knew like three guys who got blown on Sunday night.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they just like, oh, I just got blown in the bathroom.
That's amazing.
I was exhausted.
Look, it is... you know, you can do anything. I can't shit on Clusterfest. It's a much different experience. You go see a big, you know, big amphitheater type thing,
it's
right?
A Jim Jefferies or a Trevor Noah.
Which is awesome.
It's not a party like this.
This is a party. You're hanging out. 120 comedians will be there this year. We're having 10 live podcasts, so many different shows. You get to party and hang out and smoke weed and drink. And it is much more of that experience. The shows are great, obviously. We have three different stages going on simultaneously, plus like a lounge area with special events nonstop. But there's nothing that compares to it. There's nothing else like it. I remember when Clusterfest announced, Christine started freaking out because, you know, Big J and Dan Soder are on Comedy Central Radio. So they were going to be invited, obviously. And I was just like, who cares? I was like, let them have their festival. We have our festivals, different markets. I love what Michael Che just announced that he's doing his own festival the week of Just for Laughs.
I love it.
It's fucking ball. Yeah, that's the way we need to be. We're fucking, you need to be balls out.
Yeah,
okay?
We don't need these fucks.
Fuck
the
industry.
The gatekeeper. Fuck you. What do you got? You got a fedora. Who gives a shit?
They mean nothing.
We have the fans.
It means way more to have people that want to come out and fucking see you. And that's why if you guys, you know, you support these things like Skankfest, supporting my album, which is coming out on April 1st, my birthday. Guys, grab the album when it comes out. You guys are going to fucking love it. I promise you, whether it's a special or the album, I'm very, very proud of this. So, but that's it. We don't need the industry. We don't need anybody to tell us that we're good enough. I know that I have a fucking dedicated hardcore fan base that will come out and support it. And that's all you need. A lot of these other people that are getting HBO specials, getting Netflix specials, they don't have a tenth of the fan base. One-tenth. It's crazy. You can look at it. It's not bullshit. You can look at Twitter. You can look at Instagram. You can look at the shows. You can look at the road. You can look at the live shows. So you guys supporting, I'm telling you right now, it's a fucking dance, and it's so much more important than you guys realize. If you want to have great content, right, and you want to have really good comedy, you supporting it is the absolute most valuable thing that you guys can do. Just support it. Go and spend a little bit of cash. Fuck me. If you don't like me, fuck me. But go and support these guys that are doing it in the independent way, because that's how you're going to get great stuff. You get people that are going to take chances. Everyone else is fucking afraid right now. So please go and support whoever is trying to do things themselves. It's very, very important.
Totally. Not to mention the industry is all about heat. It's not about funny. They're like, oh, this is a trans guy in a wheelchair. It's all casting.
Well, that's pretty funny, though.
I guess so, yeah. I guess you gotta. It depends on the writing,
dude. Literally 30 years ago, we'd put that guy at a carnival and you'd throw apples at him.
Well, now that's comedy.
That would be a fucking. That would be a whole event. You pay a dollar for three apples to peg this trans guy in a wheelchair at any county fair in this country.
Of course, but that I like. But this, you gotta compliment him. You gotta peg compliments, which is not the same.
Yeah,
I want to see you get pegged. Yeah. But either way. And the industry is just like, oh, this guy's young and hot, but he's not funny, or she's like a cool girl, she's a hipster. It's like, this is
the reality
funny.
Is it's hard to be funny by being young. I'll tell you why.
Yes.
Because this is the stand-up comedy in particular. It's the type of thing that you need to do for 10 years before you actually get really good.
Yeah,
before
of course.
You get really good, you can be funny and you can figure out the tricks. But when you see guys that are getting stuff at 4 or 5 years in and really getting stuff. It's one of two things. Number one, they're a very, very special talent, which I think happens. I think somebody like
it's
Michael
rare.
Che is
okay.
a special talent.
A phenom, like a Mulaney.
Yes, Mulaney. Even Pete, I give Pete shit, but I get to a certain degree, Pete was able to handle that type of success and that type of pressure. People don't realize what it's like to walk into an audition with Lorne Michaels.
Right.
You know, I've walked into auditions just casting on camera, and I'm a nervous wreck, and I'm sweating, and I'm overthinking everything, and... That's a different talent.
I am loving it.
I'm loving it. I am loving it. Speaking of Pete, this is kind of interesting. I guess he was at a comedy club. Pull this story up.
And you're all Pete today.
He stopped the show to kick out a heckler for mentioning Mac Miller.
Ah, fun. That's a funny heckler.
Yeah.
He knew how to get under him, you know?
Yeah. What happened here, Shannon? Do you have any more information about this? You put this in the notes today.
Yeah, so he was performing in New Jersey, and he was saying that he said something weird happened at his house. He was, like, setting up a joke, and his friend was over, and his friend had a heart attack. And then somebody from the audience yelled out, Mac Miller. He just stopped everything and was like, he told the crowd to point out exactly who it was in the audience that said it. And at first they weren't sure if he was kidding or not. When they realized he was serious, he was like, seriously, security, if you don't get him out, I'm walking off stage. And then like he, I guess, was a little playful with the audience about it, but he wouldn't continue until he said, I'm not going to have shit like that on my show. So he wouldn't continue until the guy was removed.
Yeah, I mean, you have your right.
Yeah,
you have right
sure.
To do it. I probably wouldn't have handled it that way.
No, you try to make it funny, I guess.
You can't show your ass that much. You can't show people what bothers you.
It makes you vulnerable.
Yeah, it's just like, look, we all get bothered by things that people say on the internet. You know,
right.
It happens less and less. But
if you show it, then people can go, oh, now I can get him.
Yeah, that's it. And
it
now he's dealing with a shitstorm, I'm sure, of Mac Miller tweets. And,
oh, yeah.
But at what point do you just, are you sort of desensitized to it? At what point do you go, I don't really care? When you're that famous, you have that many people hitting you up, thousands of people hitting you up with the same shit, aren't you going to go like, ah, it doesn't really matter anymore?
I get you think. I mean, that's where we're at. I get a million tweets all the time.
It just sounds like some like Axl Rose kind of shit to stop the show. And be like secure. I don't know.
I disagree. I think it sounds kind of like, hey, come on now.
What do you mean?
It sounds a little like you should just trash the guy.
It sounds like some Axl Rose would be like, oh, who threw that plastic bottle?
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, we're at a fucking concert, you old fuck.
Yeah, it's also a very weird thing to go, I'm going to take myself away. I'm going to take my ball and go home. To tell the audience, if you don't point out that guy, which, to be honest with you, like, who the fuck, like, who points their finger at the guy and starts ratting him out? It's like, I don't know. It's just not how I would handle it. I do understand the sentiment. I'm not, I don't believe that it's a comedian's job to handle hecklers.
I agree. I don't like heckling, and it should be grounds for dismissal, but
immediately.
You don't want to show your cards too much.
The problem with that situation is you let that guy win.
That's it.
That's what you did, is you really let him win. Because
more than that, you let everyone in the crowd know, I can ruin this if I want.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's, whatever. Pete's, I like Pete. You know, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
Good enough, kind of. I don't know.
I think he's a good guy. I don't know him too well.
What happened? Didn't you have a thing with him, weirdly, at Roast Battle? What happened there?
Have you talked about this at all?
You don't have to.
I think we have on this pod, actually.
Okay, we did? Okay.
Yeah, oh, actually, maybe it was Skanks. But, I went out to fuck with Kurt. I was doing a Kurt roast. Kurt Metzger, and he just started going, I don't like Mark. I don't like him. Mm. And it was like jarring because I'm like so in my head about this thing with Kurt. I'm such a Kurt fan. He's such a good writer. So I was so worried about Kurt that this came out of nowhere. I'm like, wait, what do I do here? Can I shit on him? And then all you're doing is think of horrible, horrific things to say. Like, we were at the stand. You just go right for the jugular. But
I'm like,
we're on TV. This crowd is a bunch of woke weirdos. Jeff Ross is here. So I can't really go after the fun stuff. So
the problem is
do.
With the crowd as well. They're a TV audience crowd who they're not fans of Roast Battle. They're not fans of these comedians in particular.
Completely.
What they are is they're on. They got an email from the Blacklist or one of these other websites that give away free tickets for TV tapings.
Cute girls are dolled up. It's not comedy.
They're on Pete's side.
Yeah, completely.
You're not gonna win it. You're not going to. There's a weird thing where people just they love celebrity. It's bizarre to me, but the crowd immediately is rooting for that guy.
Of course.
Was it, you never spoke to him about that?
No, I don't know if he actually hates me or if he was just trying to be fun and like.
He was missing the mark or.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know him that well, so I don't hate him. Yeah. I hope he likes me. I'm gay. But yeah, he just started it. And you know, at the stand, you go, oh, your mom has cancer, or that's why your dad got stabbed. That's where we would go.
Yeah, of course.
But I knew I couldn't do that, so I had to just stifle.
Oh, so you didn't say anything?
Well, I made some jokes about, like, oh, you're never on SNL, or I didn't know you were still doing it. I just tried to keep it PG.
And it didn't go well?
It was all right. No one cared.
Yeah.
They're like, who's this guy talking? Let's listen to Pete. Which I don't blame him. He's the famous one.
Gentlemen. Gotta talk about People's Choice Beef Jerky, which I fucking love.
Ooh, yeah,
love jerky. Okay,
big fan.
Yeah, I'm back in the gym now. I'm going to Jamaica in a couple weeks. Got to get back in shape. I'm snacking on beef jerky nonstop. This is my fucking new thing. Okay, if you guys don't know about People's Choice Beef Jerky, it is California's original small batch beef jerky. This is a family business from California. They make these batches in small batches. The reason they do that is because they can keep it fresh. They keep it tender. It's not like when you go to 7-Eleven or a gas station. It's like you're chewing on plastic.
Right.
It's terrible. It's processed. It does not taste good. You want to use this as a snack. You want to have it regularly in your life. You want to have delicious, amazing beef jerky. We all know what high-end, delicious, amazing beef jerky tastes like. And I'm telling you right now, the best of the best is People's Choice Beef Jerky. So right now, if you want an amazing discount, this is such a good deal, go to peopleschoicebeefjerky.com. That is peopleschoicebeefjerky.com. And use the promo code RAP. 15. R-A-P 15. You save 15% off your entire order.
Wow.
This is great if you got some trips coming up, if you guys are going camping, you guys are going, or if you just want to have this as a regular snack. I have it in my kitchen in the cabinet. I just have like 20 bags of People's Choice beef jerky that I just snack on regularly. This is my go-to snack for me, my girlfriend, and my son loves it as well.
Yeah.
So once again, that's peopleschoicebeefjerky.com. Use that promo code RAP15 and save 15%. All right, where were we? What's it called? We didn't really talk about I didn't talk about this on any podcast, really. But Brody Stevens, who's a comedian from L.A., he killed himself a few days ago. This has sort of been the big thing in the comedy community for the past few days. But he got a lot of love.
He got a lot of love.
He got a lot of love. Way more than Kevin Barnett.
Well, he's getting Rogan love. He's getting Segura love. He's getting Kreischer love. Well, we're getting, you know, Lucas Brothers. You know, for Kevin Barnett. Well, I like the Lucas Brothers.
Thompson love.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that's L.A.
Ironically, neither of the Lucas Brothers named Mookie.
That's true, yeah.
But, yeah, so he got the star love.
Yeah, that is true. He, you know.
We got Che.
It's sort of a.
Well, it's weird. We're making this about a love off. The guy died. He killed himself. It's sad.
No, it is sad. I'm saying I look at the competition of it. And
I guess
feel like
you
if
do.
You're looking at the bigger spectacle, Brody Stevens is winning this fucking love off against
also
Kevin
around,
Barnett.
Around longer. And Kevin Barnett was more of a writer, whereas Brody was, I think, more out there.
Yeah.
Talking about competition, fucking William Stevenson's dead.
Nobody cares.
Nobody gave a fuck about
that. I forgot about it, and I know William Stevenson. I literally forgot.
There you go.
I literally forgot that he died.
Because people are like, it's a rule of threes. Who's next? And I'm thinking, it's three.
Ouch.
Everyone forgot about William Stevenson.
Yeah. Poor William Stevenson. Holy shit, dude. When did he die? Did he die right before Kevin Barnett?
Right before, like a week before.
Yeah. Oh, no.
But
oh, no. Isn't that what happened with China?
This country?
China and Prince died.
Yeah, yeah. China died, and then six hours later, Prince died.
Oh.
And it was like, fuck you big bitch. Prince is dead.
I think Farrah Fawcett and Michael Jackson had a similar thing.
Yeah, you can overshadow. That would be my fucking luck.
And Robin Williams overshadowed somebody, too.
But. Oh, really? Well, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. That would be my luck, is that I would fucking kill myself, and then some other more famous, beloved comedian would kill myself. I've thought about that a lot.
Any other comedian.
Like any comedian in the world.
Mookie.
Would I have the same type of response that Brody had? If I killed myself... I mean, the fucking love that this guy got, you know.
You got to remember, Zach Galifianakis produced his TV show. So, like, this guy had some big
friends.
He's
been in the business for a really, really long time. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was the warm-up on Chelsea lately at midnight. Like, he's been around. He's in The Hangover.
Yeah.
You got Gas Digital and Zach and The Creek and Skankfest.
I almost feel like I should fake my death just to see what type of love I would get.
That's it. That's what they did in Tom Sawyer. That's a Mark Twain thing.
I thought they just used the N-word a bunch. I'm already halfway there.
Both. Both things you think about doing.
Hell yeah. Use the N-word, paint a fence, fake my death. I don't know. I can do all this shit, doggy.
Paint the N-word on a fence. Save some time.
It'd be a hell of a skank fest, though, if you died. It'd be quite a remembrance.
Yeah.
It'd be a memoriam.
Yeah. What would we? I mean, it would be fun to fake my... When's the last time somebody faked their death? It doesn't happen anymore, right?
Well, Smollett, Jussie, was close.
Yeah.
He faked something. He faked an attack.
Yeah, that is true. What type of... Yeah, you would get a lot of love. I you know what? People don't like me that much. Brody Stevens is a very, very nice person, or was a very,
and
very nice
person.
And had a
history
of
mental illness. So.
Right.
Yeah, he's kind of a wackadoodle of a guy. I've always liked Brody. The first time I met Brody was at Big J's show, the crowd work show that he did, which Brody was designed for. I mean,
sure.
he was a crowd work guy, and I remember I was doing crowd work for some shitty sports show at that time.
Warm-up?
Yeah, doing crowd warm-up for this show. And I got fired. Mad Dog took my place
yes.
on that show. Deservedly so.
He's the king.
And I remember I asked advice from Brody Stevens. And he gave me this, you know, incredible advice.
Yeah.
That I just could. I literally couldn't do it. You've probably done crowd warm-up for TV shows before.
A few times. It's soul-crushing.
It's really bad.
Yeah. You guys, how you guys doing? You guys all right? You feeling good? Give me some energy. Give me some energy. It's not comedy.
Doggy, like when I run out of jokes and I'm throwing out free Tootsie Rolls,
oh.
The moment that the first moment where you reach into your fucking bag of goodies to throw out free Tootsie Rolls for trivia or whatever the fuck else, it is the worst. And I remember getting fired and just being like, good.
Yeah.
This isn't what I got into this for.
Sure.
It's not. There's a lot of that in comedy. I feel like what you cross a threshold and you realize that most of the shit that the opportunities that comedians have offered to them, they're not great. Writing gigs. It's not that they're like, look, I guess it can be great, but I'm watching my girlfriend go through that right now. I mean, she works with the Impractical Jokers, mm-hmm. and it's real work. And I told her that before she got the job. I was like, just so you know, I was like, you're going to miss the freedom of waiting tables and disconnecting once you get off.
Yes.
And not giving a fuck anymore. You know?
What is it, like 9-to-5 shit? Or
she, like 10-to-6, something like that.
Oh, that's brutal.
And it's definitely fun. You're doing what you want to do with your life, but that.
And the money's all right.
The money's
sure.
great. So, but that sounds like a nightmare to me. That's a 9-to-5 job. That's not why I got into this. I got into this to sort of be my own boss and to just create the way that I want to create. And when you're given assignments,
yeah,
there's more, just more and more of that.
If you
get into it.
Offered SNL writing gig in the room, writing sketches, would you take it?
Right. Now, that's actually a great question. Cause it's the debate. I've been offered, I get offered to submit writing packets all the time for stuff, and specifically, maybe my agents blowing smoke up my ass, but I've been told, like, hey, they really want to look at you to write for this,
uh-huh.
right? And I turned down a lot of them. There's been a few that I did. Like, I ended up submitting for the roast of the Bruce Willis roast.
Oh, nice.
Because that is limited, and it's only a few weeks.
And it's one and done.
You're out. You know, yeah. You're in and out. You make a few $1,000, you get the credit, you know, whatever. The problem with SNL is if I were to go and take an SNL writing job, I would have to give a lot of this stuff up.
That's true.
It's a full-time job and it's really intense. And, you know, a lot of the things that I do, and I don't know that a person that writes on SNL, maybe they make a little more money than me right now. I don't know.
They
I have no idea.
Money.
But I don't know that I think I'm on a path to make substantially more
uh-huh.
than they make, like levels and levels. And, you know, so I feel like if I were to stop the path that I'm on right now, it's a little short-sighted to say, hey, maybe I'm making a little bit more money writing on SNL, you know, and there's opportunities, but now I'm on a path where I'm writing, I'm a cog in somebody else's wheel.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really exciting to me. I'm not saying that it's not a great job and the people that are doing that, they're extremely talented. It's one of the most competitive things in the world.
Oh,
the amount of people that submit for that
in the room and all that.
It's crazy. Okay. But it is not something that excites me. You know, it's almost like me saying somebody who, you know, works in cancer research. I'm like, yeah, I'm not into that. Does not excite me at all. That is a really important job that you have to be really talented to do. So it's not knocking it at all. But I don't think that I would. I think right now they just said, hey, take this job right now. In fact, I will tell you a definitive 100% no.
Wow.
Questions asked.
I would do it for a year just to get in that world. You're in the door. Plus, those celebrities coming in every week. You get to meet them and work with them. You're hands-on with Steve Martin.
I hate celebrities, doggy.
Oh, wow.
I really do. When I meet somebody who's famous, it turns me off. I meet people famous all the time. And, you know, people don't realize the amount of people that come through this world that are on the other end, on the MMA world that I do with Bisping. I meet famous people all the time, and when I meet somebody that is famous, I get uncomfortable, and I'm like, I don't want to be around this person.
Even if you respect the shit out of their form and their art, and you love what they do, like, who's a band you love or an actor? Like, you meet a fucking, I don't know, Robert De Niro, wouldn't that be exciting?
No.
Wow.
It would not be exciting to meet Robert De Niro.
Well, maybe I'm picking a wrong guy, but...
There's really nobody that I would go, oh my God, I'm excited to meet this person right now. I mean, I guess, all right.
Rage Against the Machine? I don't know. What band do you like? I'm telling like my dad here.
But when I was a kid,
Green
yes.
Day.
When I was 15 years old, I would sneak backstage at concerts because I was a kid and there was these men that were on stage that I was like, oh my God, I'm aspiring to be them. I don't look at the world. I don't aspire to be other dudes now.
Yeah.
So when I look at somebody, it would be like this. I would be more excited about having lunch with Mark Cuban. If it was
picking his brain a little.
Literally set up where the pretense is, I'm going to pick your brain. Just so you know, like, this is why we're doing this. This is because the problem.
Hi, Mark Cuban. Lewis, Puerto Rican.
That's great. Great that joke. Great. That's a great joke.
But that, I mean, because you can take something tangible from that experience and walk out with it, or
you're practical. No more fairy tales for you.
Somebody like Rogan, I like having conversations with Rogan because he is
doing exactly what he wants to do.
He's just, he has a certain level of success, and I feel like there's something that can be learned from that.
Totally.
Whatever you say about, any of these people, that's who I would be excited. But it's not just meeting somebody that is successful or famous or...
That makes sense.
I've told this, story plenty of times on the show, but I was in Derek Jeter's, private box in Vegas at, a party. It was his party, and I was in his specific box with Sal Volcano and Sebastian Maniscalco and a bunch of other, it was this charity thing that they were doing, but we were in that box.
Yeah.
Letting him be in the box was the charity.
But I couldn't run out of there any faster.
Really?
I did not want to be rubbing elbows with these famous people in any sense of the word. There's a weird thing because I feel...
Are you scared of fucking it up?
No.
Or do you feel beneath them in a weird way and that bothers you? I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just trying to get to the bottom of it.
I think that I...
You can't be you. You have to be a little phonier.
Right.
Yeah,
That's exactly what it is.
I get that.
I don't like not being able to be me.
Yes.
I don't like putting on a fake thing.
It hurts you. It kills you inside a little bit to be phony like that.
Really,
I totally get
me.
It.
If I'm in a bad mood or something's pissing me off, I want to be able to express it. I'm not really good at playing that game, and it's probably a major reason why I've had issues with the industry. It's because when I go into a meeting, I wear it on my face that I don't want to be there.
Right.
I wear it on my face that I don't actually, I watch guys like Joe DeRosa out with agents and industry folk, and they're drinking and rubbing elbows, and I don't think he's faking it. I think he legitimately wants to be there and likes hanging out with those people, and certain people can shift their mind and do things that way, and it'll take you very far if you can get important people to like you.
Uh-huh.
And I have a hard time. I almost have the an opposite reaction. Really important people or people that are quote unquote above me, I don't want you to like me. I want to pass this guy, and I want him to feel as if he has to get me to like him.
Yeah.
So
I like that. Yeah, I get it.
It's not right necessarily. It's not the right way to necessarily be successful. I'm just saying sort of the way that I feel about celebrity and sort of that thing.
That's why you got to respect Rogan, because A, he just did everything he wanted. I want to do a podcast, biggest podcast. I like MMA. I'll be the best announcer guy. And then a sleeper guy is Doug Benson. He doesn't get enough credit. I like movies. Doug loves movies. I like weed. Getting high with Doug. High court.
Yeah.
Guy barely does stand-up. He's just getting high and talking about movies.
It's great.
And he's making money.
But that's the thing. If you want to pull something out of that, there's a path with anything you want to do. If you're passionate, there is a path to turn that into not only a living, but a very lucrative, very successful living. And that's on if you look at Doug Benson or Joe Rogan or anybody, I don't think that these are, these unbelievable, brilliant minds that are, they're guys that have a real belief in what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And if you believe in what you want and you sort of just attack it from an angle where you have real true belief, deep down inside, you really, really believe it. I just believe we naturally carry ourselves there. We're designed to do that.
It takes a special kind of guy, though. Remember that scene in Fight Club where he goes into the bodega with a gun and it's an Asian guy and he puts the gun to his head and he's on his knees and he goes, "What do you want to do?" He's like, "I don't know." He's like, "What do you like? Animals. So what do you want to do? Be a veterinarian." He's like, "Have you made any steps to do that?" He's like, "No." He's like, "I'm going to come back here in a month, and if you haven't made any steps to be a veterinarian, I'm going to shoot you in the head." And he just runs off.
Yeah.
And I think some guys have that internally, and some guys need a guy to put a gun to their head.
Well, that's where I think luck comes into play. I think sometimes, I had this argument with Nick Mullen about this, right? He's like, "I'm very lucky. This is why my podcast." And I was like, "You're not lucky."
He's a funny guy.
You're really talented. You have a certain way of thinking.
He's a lunatic.
That's where the luck comes in.
Uh-huh.
Because some people are lucky to have that way of thinking. I'm lucky that I have a belief in my abilities, even though nobody else seems to. But that's it's a weird.
Is that luck?
It's a weird. I'm lucky that I believe in myself. I don't know. So a lot of people can't muster up the confidence to take those chances. And I think there's a certain amount of luck there. There's something, you know, physiologically or psychologically or something in my with my brain chemistry.
You don't think it's survival?
I don't know, because my sister doesn't have the same thing. And we were raised in the same environment, you know?
Interesting.
And we, you know, so, you know, and she's much more the type of person that, you know, she's sort of content with the life that she had. Not that she's content. She, you know, she's a dreamer to a certain degree.
She's not a doer.
But I think, you have to. I'm lucky that I'm willing to take those chances. There's a certain degree, and I don't know. I think most people don't. Most people don't see something, and there's not many things that you can show me right now that I wouldn't believe that I could do.
Yeah, well, it's not everyone. I mean, that's why you go to a rock concert and the guy's wearing bell bottoms and sunglasses, or a comedy show, and you're like, look what he's talking about. It's like Muhammad Ali. I'm the greatest. It's fun to hear people say that and talk like that. And I don't think everybody has that. It's not only just seeing a great comedian like Bill Burr, but he's also saying crazy shit where you're like, I could never say that, but I completely agree.
Right. Yeah.
It like wakes something up in you.
But I do think that everybody has the ability.
I don't know.
No. But I think everybody, not the ability, but I think that everybody has the means to do what they want to do with their life. And there's a path to get there. Not that, I don't know if you could tap into it, but I do think that it's right in front of you. All of the things that you know you would need in order to accomplish whatever you want to accomplish, I think almost everybody could do it. Everybody could become a millionaire. Literally everybody, I believe.
I agree, yeah.
Could become a millionaire. There's a path to becoming a millionaire.
Yeah.
And the steps are there, and they're not as difficult as people think.
Yep, yep. Isn't that so annoying when people complain? Like, you could do it, and all you're doing is sitting around complaining, and I'm a victim, and my life's harder, and you're privileged, and I'm not. It's like, you could totally do it.
There's not a, and I think people get confused sometimes when we have these conversations where we go like, stop bitching feminists, right? It's not that I'm saying you don't have a legitimate point. I'm saying with my personal life philosophy, you're not going to get what you want out of life.
With that attitude.
Yes. By being stuck there.
Yeah. That's, everyone has an obstacle.
Yes. Everybody's got an obstacle.
Black, white, man, woman, amputee, whatever.
Yeah.
But you just got to figure out your way around that obstacle.
Yeah, and there's a path for all of it. I really do.
Of course.
This has really turned into a motivational fucking speaking podcast.
Sorry,
No, it's okay. I love it, dude. This is true. I'm quote unquote reading a couple books right now, and they're all like, you know, self-helpy fucking horseshit, which I love.
Only books I read too, and I watch the YouTube shit.
Yeah. I was having an argument with Ralph this morning because I said I just finished the 48 Laws of Power.
Yeah,
and I started listening to audiobooks. Do you consider that? Can I say that I read the 48 Laws of Power?
No.
You don't think I can say that?
No, you didn't. You listened to it.
Come on. What are we doing here?
It could be on in the background.
It's not, though. It's on. In my earbuds, on the train, steam room.
I mean, it's the same shit because you're taking the same knowledge, but it's not reading.
I think you're right. To a certain
degree, you could be listening to something and thinking about something else.
That's
I don't
also
think you
true.
Can read something. And
jerk off.
Think.
I can read
time.
Something and think about something completely.
But then you're
else.
Not processing what you're reading.
But it's the same thing. I think you're right. I think that there is more of a
discipline,
physical commitment to reading.
Yeah.
And there's more of like, it's almost like when you go into a department store. The reason the woman has you try something on is because you're more connected with that piece because you physically did something. You put it on. Ah. You feel it. You look at it in the mirror. There's a connection there. When you look at it on a rack, it's just something different.
Right.
And I think that's the difference between maybe reading a book and consuming a book through audio.
It's also
purposes.
Why when somebody comments on your wall, they're super fucking mean. And when you see them in public, they're nice.
Yes.
Because you're right there.
Yeah, they're right there.
You're in a car, you're driving, you go, you fucking gook. And then when you get up to them, you're like, I love egg rolls.
Gooks.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think maybe there is more of a connection with the words that you're reading. You're processing it a different way. You're holding the book. You're turning the pages. You misread a sentence. You don't really process it. You read back for a second.
Yep.
How often am I rewinding the audiobook?
Yep.
Whereas when I'm reading a book, if I stop, let's say I stop and I flip the page, or you know, I put a marker in the page. What I'll usually do is when I go back is I start on the previous page and I reread the last page, so I kind of really understand contextually where we're going.
Yeah.
You don't really do that with this. So I guess. To a certain degree, you're right.
But I do think you can't sleep on audio. Audio is the best way to get something into your brain, I think. Like, you watch a stand-up special, it's one thing, but if you listen to one, I think it's a way better experience for stand-up.
It's a different experience.
It's different. I think it gets in the brain better with, like, think about a TV show. Like, let's say you had the Luis Gomez TV show, and you're watching it every day, like Letterman kind of thing. But if you listen to you on a podcast every day, I think that sinks in more. The TV show, you get up, you make a sandwich, you're looking at the guest, you're looking at their suit, you're looking at the podcast. Just, there's no filter, goes right in.
Well, it's also it's because with a podcast, it is active listening. You're actively searching it out. You are pressing play when you want to play. You've chosen this person. You've with television. Yes, there are 200 channels, but there are a bazillion podcasts, and you're downloading it. You're playing it exactly at a certain time. With television, it's very passive. Like, I don't really give a fuck about Naked and Afraid, even though I've probably watched 100 episodes. I don't care if it went off the air. I wouldn't. There's no part of me that would. I wouldn't blink an eye. I'm just passively consuming it. So that's, I think, a part of it as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm newly into audiobooks. This is my new way to consume books.
No, it's the best. It's the most efficient.
Because I have no time. I have no time to fucking read. I'm always working on the train. I'm always doing something else. So, and then what I was doing is I was tearing the pages out of my book and bringing them in the steam room with me. And I
thought
you were
saving on toilet paper.
I was getting so enraged by words on paper that I started destroying them.
Huh.
I don't know. That's my new thing. So that I downloaded Audible. How much is Audible per month? Is there
15?
A monthly fee? Is it $15 per month?
Oh, yeah.
No.
It was when I was banging. I got off of it. It was too much.
Whoa. But do I get unlimited downloads on books?
Yeah.
No, you don't. You get one credit a month.
Oh!
You get one free one at the beginning, and then because I'm a member of Audible, and you get one credit a month.
Well, how many books are you going to listen to a month, you know?
And then they accumulate. So, like, if you go a month without, then you have two. I love it.
Yeah, well.
Is it 15 a month?
Bucks? I think so. I'm looking it up right now. I think it's $14.99, but I'm looking it up.
I didn't realize. I just downloaded it and then signed in with my Amazon, and then I realized that I'm being billed. It's slick. I appreciate those scumbags.
Yeah.
They really fucked me in my ass here. It's great. But you can get all the audiobooks as well on YouTube.
$14.95
a month. And you get one per month. They should give you more than that. Because an audiobook is what, 10, 12 hours?
It ranges. I've read from like 3 to like 20-something hours. Yeah. But you could also upgrade where you get more credits a month. Also, there's different plans.
Yeah. This is my new... I'm consuming books left and right now. You didn't even know.
No, I didn't.
You don't even fucking know. Gentlemen, really quick, let's talk about Blue Chew, which I love. Mark, have you fucked a Blue Chew yet?
I love Blue Chew. I've eaten many, and they work.
They really legitimately work. If you guys don't know what it is the same active ingredient as Cialis or Viagra, meaning that it helps you get your dick hard as fuck.
And quick.
Yeah, really quick. 20 minutes, you pop it in, you chew it. It tastes like a piece of candy. It's like a blue raspberry fucking Smartie.
Yeah.
And then all
Blue is describing his dick.
It's blue, it's raspberry. And I'll tell you right now, it's easier than having to go to the doctor. A lot of times you go to the doctor, you have to say, hey, doc, I want help with my dick. That's not an appropriate conversation to be having with your fucking pediatrician.
No, they hate that.
Yeah, all right. So what you do is you go online, takes 5 minutes to fill out a little form. You get a prescription right online, nice and discreet, comes to your house in discreet packaging.
No pharmacy, comes to your house.
No bullshit. You don't have to spend any time going out there. And it really legitimately does work. The best way I can describe it, because I don't have trouble getting an erection, okay? I have a majorly high libido, okay?
Sure.
I love having sex. It makes my dick feel bigger, stronger, more powerful. Sex feels better for both me and my chick.
Yeah.
If I want to go 2 or 3 times in a night, I have the option. But it's also not like your dick's out of control. Like, I took it the other night. I popped a Blue Chew in. And I do it to my girlfriend just to fuck with her. Sometimes I'm like, hey, babe. And then I go, and then I start chewing it. Just to let her know it's coming, right?
Right, right. And also, I need this.
Yeah.
Because you're not bringing it.
But then she goes, I'm on my period. I'm not in the mood. It's not happening. And I'd already chewed it. And I was like, I'm going to be sitting awake with an erection all night. No, it was fine. I went to bed. It wasn't an issue in the slightest bit. Beat off in the morning. Had to get one out. But
sure.
The reality, it's not like you have this uncontrollable boner where you're like, no. What happens is you take it. As soon as she starts playing with it, boom.
Yeah.
I psychologically feel like my dick is bigger.
Yes. And it's like you're a kid. Well, that sounds weird. But, you know, it feels like you're young.
Yes.
You know, you're like 18.
It makes
sex. Yeah, look what I can do.
Yeah.
It makes sex much more exciting again. And here's the deal. We're going to give you a free trial of Blue Chew just by going to BlueChew.com. And you get your first order completely free when you use the promo code RAP. You pay $5 shipping. You can get Blue Chew right to your door. Once again, that is BlueChew.com. Promo code RAP. $5 shipping. Go improve your sex life. Let's get back into it. Shannon, are we? Do we have any good scams this week?
There's a couple acceptable ones.
Okay, so look, ladies and gentlemen, time for Scam That Jew. If you guys want to join the conversation with Scam That Jew and sending your scams, new email address, no longer scamthatjew@gmail.com. It's officially realassofficial@gmail.com. Realassofficial@gmail.com. Shoot us all your emails there for any of the segments, questions, anything you guys might have. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's Scam That Jew.
I'm a very desperate man, and I live with my mother.
Scam That Jew.
Love it.
Okay. Hold on a second.
What do we got here, Shanuna?
Here's the first one. This is from Shane. Sup, doggies. Foolproof method of dine and dash that never fails, and it's super simple. Mm. At a restaurant, order a round of drinks, maybe an appetizer or two, so you can get a second round of drinks. Put in the order for entrees and dip out. Pretend you're making a phone call or need to get something from your car. Doesn't matter. Who's going to leave before they get their meal? If someone stops, you just go back, enjoy your meal, and try again next time. Want to get even more free drinks? Most nicer establishments won't hold your card, so you can go to the bar, drink a few there, throw the bartender a five, and transfer your tab to the table. Give me my t-shirt, Shane.
It's okay, dog. I mean, you're just talking about dining and dashing. It's not really super creative. A better one, I had a buddy would do this. What you can do is you can go buy those prepaid Visa cards, right? You buy it, buy a $20 one. And when you leave your card with the bar, you leave them that, and you can run up like a $600 bill and then just fucking dip out on
it. That's not bad.
Yeah, that's a better version of that scam.
My only concern with the scam is I feel like when we do scams where you rip off like a Walmart or a store, you're ripping off the corporation. This, I feel like you're kind of fucking your waitress.
Ah, good point.
It's how I had a baby.
yeah.
sort of.
Maybe you leave her a tip and bail.
Yeah, but she's got to pay for it. Usually when you bail on a bill, the way it works, yes. Shannon, you're a low-rent Staten Island bartender.
Yeah.
If somebody bailed on a $300 bill, would it be your responsibility to pay it?
I have worked in places that did make
for
that,
sure.
Yeah.
Damn.
Not every place.
I feel bad for the waitress.
Yeah, that's harsh.
Oh, but this is cold. This needs to be heated up. Sorry.
If it's a chain, could be all right.
No, I feel like a chain would have
a chain.
The
you're more
rule.
Than
oh,
you're
really?
More likely. Probably the protocol is going to be that the bartender. You have to. But I got to be honest with you. I'm not as concerned. I don't have that rule where people are like, "Well, I don't mind ripping off a corporation, but I mind ripping off." Can you just microwave this for a minute? I might. You know, I mind ripping. But I would never do a mom and pop shop.
No, I don't do a mom and pop.
I don't really care. I'm not. Yes, I'm less likely to just steal from a mom and pop shop. Just straight up steal. But it's all sort of part of this like social contract that we have, which is like, yeah, people are going to try to rip you off. And if you're not on top of your shit, you're going to get ripped off. You know,
I guess
you can't take it personally. It's not a personal thing. Like there are bad people in the world. There are good people in the world. You know, it's just part of running a business. You're going to have some people do some shady shit. So if you're not catching them, you know, they won.
All right. But then if it's all chains all over New York, you can't bitch.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah.
You have people go, you just have some personality here. Some mom and pop. And now it's all Pinkberry and Dwayne Reed.
I also don't bitch.
All right.
More power to them, you know?
Well, the rents are high. I steal from the airport weekly. Every week I steal from the airport.
How do you steal at the airport?
It's so easy.
Because there's the new thing where you go up to the kiosk and pay for it, right?
That's made it so much easier.
That's just like, what are you doing? Why would I pay for this salad?
Exactly.
Why would I?
There's no one there. It's so easy.
I could also just sit down, eat it, play dumb in your cell phone. If somebody says anything, they're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
That's a perfect little scam.
You can't get caught.
Yeah, it's nearly impossible to get caught, but how do you steal from the airport weekly?
Well, I'm so confident now with the stealing that I'll do a move that it's so crazy that it works. So I'll go up to like a Hudson News or one of those weird express cafe things, and I'll just put like a banana, a Muscle Milk, and a sandwich under my arm.
Under your arm and then pay for one thing.
Yeah, and they're going, oh, well, he must have paid for that. He's just showing it to me.
Yeah.
There's no way that's stealing, and they never check.
Mark, every time I buy anything anywhere,
I the arm?
Try to steal something.
Same.
Almost any time.
Yeah.
And it's people are like, oh, that's kind of petty. I'm like, when you do the math throughout my lifetime.
Oh, hundreds of thousands.
We are talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars
completely.
That I will save in my lifetime.
Same.
My kid's going to college because of these bananas under the armpit.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
I do it all the self checkout at CVS. There's like impulse buys right there.
Yeah, of course,
you just take one.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, they're not, there's no one buy the self checkout.
I stole lipstick the other day for no reason. I was at the ATM machine at Duane Reade, and it was next to like the little Mac thing, and it was and I just went and I went and I took the lipstick.
That's probably $30.
And I put it in my sleeve. And I walked out, and I was like, I have no use for this. My girlfriend doesn't even really wear lipstick. And I just chucked it.
Yeah.
There was no reason. There was no reason to do that.
Should have given it at least to a hobo if they're your date.
But there's something. Like there's a weird thrill about stealing that I've always kind of had that I always kind of want to – just getting away with it is sort of thrilling
of
and
course.
Fun.
Of course.
We should come up with a – because I, you know, I go to TD Bank and there's free coffee at TD Bank. Mm-hmm. So another quick scheme: you don't need to buy coffee ever. Just
right.
Go to TD Bank and act like you're thinking about opening up an account. Get your cup of coffee. Walk the fuck out.
I do that at hotel lobbies.
No,
there's
that's
free coffee.
Hotel lobbies. Well, you take it further. You go to on the road.
Breakfast.
Free breakfast.
There
bitch.
It is.
I remember when we stopped on the way to Detroit and we were debating staying at a hotel, and Mullen just walked back. He made like a Flintstones level sandwich of just everything that was in the breakfast thing. And we're like,
him.
We're probably not staying here. He's like, yeah. And just like walks past the front desk.
Yeah. What are they going to do? They don't care.
How would they know?
How would they know?
How would they ever know?
He's a white kid with glasses.
That's not a good scam though, Shannon. I think my free coffee at TD Bank is a better scam than Dine and Dash.
Yeah.
That's not really a scam as much as it's just running.
Okay.
Yeah, the free coffee at the TD or at the hotel feels cool because you feel like Ferris Bueller. You just walk in, make it, and leave.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Go on with your day.
There's got to be
no rush. Even
I want to write like a complete like we should write like a blog or something. Just like how to walk through a day in New York City and scam as many free things as possible.
Well, let me ask you.
I think even just places that have nice bathrooms.
Yeah, that's a fun thing.
Because how many times when we were selling tickets. You always knew where there was a decent bathroom.
Of course.
Because there's nowhere to shit in New York.
Of course. And usually it's a hotel. That's the way to go.
Yeah.
If you want to shit in New York City, just find a hotel.
Hotel on Broadway by the Beacon Theater. Great shitter.
Great shitter.
Great
nice.
Shitter.
Love it.
So let me ask you, when you steal, every time I steal, I still worry about those sensors by the door. You know, those tall things you walk in between?
Hmm.
They've never gone off once. Are they broken? Are they for show? I mean, what is it?
They go off, but I mean, what are they going
to... Why wouldn't
they
catch the lipstick?
Hold on. How many times have the sensors gone off?
And it's a false alarm.
Because you were in another store, whatever it is, and I've never had anybody check my bag ever. In the history of my 36 years of being alive, I've never had a sensor, and I've probably had a sensor go off 20 times in my life just randomly for no reason, right? Whatever it is, you're wearing something
that...
I've never had a security guard rush me, go, let me check your bag right now, sir. What's going on?
Oh, they go, oh, forget
most
it.
Most of the
keep
time, yeah, most if somebody says anything, they go.
Yeah, they give you the hand up.
What the fuck is that? Like, what are we even doing here?
I know, I don't get it.
You don't have to buy things. The point of all of this is, guys, why are you spending money?
Exactly. People call me a klepto all day long. I'm like, no, I'm just smart.
You're just being smart. You're taking advantage of the gray area that's afforded to you by life.
Yeah, you could put on pants at the Gap, leave your shit pants behind, and leave.
Yeah, well, that's actually a little bit extreme.
I did that for a Conan. If you watch, I did a Conan, and I have an H&M shirt on with the sensor on it. The sensor is on television.
No.
It's a black circle right on my lower whatever.
That's the funniest fucking thing ever.
And then I did another show, and the guy was like, what are you doing? And they took it off for me. But they need like a special tool, which they had in wardrobe.
No, you don't. Actually, I learned this through a Lifehack website.
Whoa, lay it
look
on
up,
me.
Look up Lifehack how to take off a sensor. Because
right.
this was great. Because I recently purchased socks, and they had the things on them, and they didn't take them off. And I was like, "What the fuck? I got to go all the way back to Marshalls or wherever the fuck I bought the socks."
Yeah.
And then I looked up online a life hack on how to.
Yeah, there we go. Mine was bigger, but that's
no. Look for the one with a hammer. You just need a hammer. So I got to thank the guy whoever put this one up. Shout out to this guy's YouTube channel. Pretty fucking solid life hack right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to be ballsier like that. When I was a kid, I would steal things from like department stores, and you know, the local pizzeria, Calabria Pizza, that guy would pay us. He would basically go to all of his friends, pizzeria guys, like Italians, like who owns pizzerias, they know everybody.
Yeah.
So he knew everybody like in this North Rockland area. So he would just get his buddies and friends and like family friends to just give them the size of sneaker, just a size. And it was mine and my buddy's job to go and steal the sneakers out of Modell's and out of other places and just bring back. And it, all it had to do was be like at least a $60, $70 pair of sneakers, a major brand, Reebok, Nike, whatever. And then we would get $20 per pair. He would sell them for like $40.
Uh-huh.
So it was, we had this fuck. We would literally, here, is this it?
But how to remove security tag from cloth.
This you isn't it, see? But this is great.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear
that
voice.
Is placing hair on my t-shirt.
Italian guy.
So now I will remove that tag. So keep focusing there.
Holy
so
fuck.
First step, you need to bring one hammer.
Is this a scene
so
from The Problem with Apu?
So please.
Okay.
Where the fuck is he?
This is a bit much,
you
guys.
Can see I catch hammer
this
on my
it.
Hand
right
and stop
nice ring.
Breaking security tag.
If he hits his finger, I'm going to love it.
Do that step.
Well, anybody can figure this out.
Yeah. It was all right. It was the funnier. All right, stop it. It was a funny life hack because it was literally, it was like life hack. How to easily take off a security tag.
Right.
And they literally just go, bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was it.
If you lock your keys in your car, here's a hack. Pick up brick.
But it does work. You can literally just beat that thing off with a hammer.
All right. That sounded
talking about Zach.
Yeah.
The only way he can come.
There you go.
Yeah. So are there any other scams, Shannon? That was bad. Yeah. That was terrible. That was a really bad one. Hopefully we get some better ones here.
Okay. The next one's from Will.
Look how hot Shannon looks, by the way. Oh, my God.
Yeah, wow. Look at that.
Yes.
Choose a piece of Logitech merchandise that you would like to keep or resell. They have $200 keyboards and webcams that would work.
Love it. Because we use Logitech.
I do my cameras Logitech.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Go to eBay, Craigslist, Facebook, and find someone selling the item. Message them and tell them that you're very interested, but would like a picture of the serial number to verify that it's not fake.
Nice.
Once they send you the serial number, call Logitech and start the warranty replacement process. They'll ask you for the serial number to confirm the model and then get your shipping information. Scammers allegedly get the occasional hard ass on the phone who may ask for a picture of your name written on a sheet next to it. If that's the case, you can try to finesse your way through or just call back and get a different mouth breather. Love the show and the segment.
So what do you get, though, with Logitech's?
The replacement, so you're just going to get the item for
so
free.
They replace it. You say it's broken, and it comes with a lifetime warranty, or is it a year-long warranty?
I'll look it up.
That's not bad.
Not bad.
The serial number's pretty clutch.
Yeah. You know, it's not bad. That's not a bad scam, you know? You could also, technically, can't you just go and open... wait a minute. Hold on, Shannon. Let me fix this guy's scam. Why couldn't I, in turn, just go buy a Logitech keyboard, open it, take a picture with my face and my name next to the serial number, return it, get my money back, and then go do the same thing?
That's great. Yeah, you hacked his scam.
I feel like I made his scam better. I don't know if I can have him win a t-shirt. By the way, show that Scam That You t-shirt. You really got to pull that one up. The only way to get this shirt is to win this segment. I think I made his scam better. So what is the warranty program at Logitech?
I Googled it, and it looks like there is just a standard warranty on everything, but I'm trying to find what the amount of time is. In the meanwhile, here is the Scam That You t-shirt.
Hell yeah, Scam That Jew. Look at that nose.
Oh.
Very nice. Very
like
nice.
Clever.
All right, give me another scam. None of these are winning right now. These aren't that good.
This was an impressive scam my friend did off the cuff. We went camping. We're like 17, 18. We went to go drink in the woods. So we needed a big tent. And these tents are pretty penny. They're like a couple $100.
Yeah,
which we didn't have.
$500, easy.
Yeah, and you got this big, nice tent. So we go to Walmart or one of these places. He gets a huge tent box, puts it on a credit card. They give you a receipt. And then when you leave, they have to hit the receipt with a highlighter. That's like one of their moves. So then... he does that. My other friend takes it, returns it, gets the money back, keeps the receipt, goes and grabs another tent, just walks out with it. They go, "Oh, let me see the receipt. Got the highlighted receipt. Free tent."
That's pretty good.
Pretty good. And he did
that
on the fly.
Solid.
It's pretty good. But the problem with that is if you're caught, you're being arrested for stealing.
Yeah,
it's like you don't want to.
And that's grand theft if it's over 500. Right?
Yeah,
right.
It's like you're sort of risking something that would work with anything, but you're risking. I mean, I remember the scams when I was a kid. I just learned this naturally. I remember every scam that I've ever learned has been, it came just organically in life. It just, I happened upon it, and you're like, oh shit, there's an opportunity to scam. So my mom would sometimes send me back to ShopRite, you know, with a receipt with, you know, she needed money. So there's a fucking box of Cheerios that's unopened in the house. And yeah. She's like, all right, go bring this back, but look for a receipt in the parking lot.
Wow.
And find, like, try to find it, because they would only give you store credit. So then I was like, wait, what am I even doing? So then I would just go and find receipts in the parking lot, go grab items off the shelves and just bring them back and get cash back for them.
Wait, didn't they have to match on the receipt?
No, it's just to match the brand. There's nothing matching. The barcode isn't like, they don't know which one it was.
Oh, all right. So you got a receipt that said Nabisco, you're going to go get some cookies.
Yeah.
Okay. I actually had to read the receipt.
This works right now. As long as it's paid in cash, right? If it's paid on a card, it's not going to work because they would put the money back on the card. But if you go and find a receipt in the ShopRite parking lot and it's paid in cash, go in, find three products on the receipt, bring them back to the return, and they're just going to give you the cash back for it.
No, I didn't know that was a doable thing.
That's still doable, right? Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah, it makes sense.
I would do that as a kid, like, regularly.
Hmm.
Regularly.
I think at this day and age, it might be hard to find people that pay in cash.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Shannon, anything else? Because these are bad today. These aren't good scams. These are terrible scams, Shannon.
I mean, this is what there is today. I'll read one more. This is from Casey, Walmart free steak scam. Hey, doggies, I used to use this little trick to get free steaks at Walmart every few days. What you do is you go in and pick the steak you want. Mm. I always use ribeyes since they are the best and most expensive cut. Then I'll grab a pack of sirloins. Use the self-checkout lane. If you scan the barcode on the back of the package, it will pop up a message saying item was not read. But you can still put it in the bag area, and it will register the weight without charging you for the steaks.
Wait, what?
That's good.
I missed it.
Let me read it again.
Solid.
You use the self-checkout lane. If you scan the barcode on the back of the package, it will pop up a message saying item was not read.
Why?
Maybe, I don't know.
What am I missing here?
Because it's some kind of different receipt. It's not a corporation. It's a meat packing thing. So they have to, like, weigh it and shit. So it's not going to read the same. It's like a little glitch.
I don't understand that.
I'll finish reading it. Maybe it'll come together. Still put the bag in the area. It will register the weight without charging you for the steaks, and it will not set the alarm off when you walk out. Worst thing that happens if you claim you didn't realize it didn't charge you. But I used to do this every 3 days and I never got caught. It is an easy way to get free 20 pack of steaks or more, depending on how much you want to scam that
day. Are you getting this? You're understanding the scam?
Yeah.
How? Explain it to me.
All right. When you pack up steak or meat at a grocery store, they do it in-house. They get a bunch of meat, and there's a butcher guy in the back. Yeah. And he just puts it in a plastic. Then he puts Saran around it.
And then they put a
barcode on it. For some reason, these barcodes, because it's not the barcode on the back of a Chips Ahoy, maybe it's not reading. I don't know why, because it's in-house.
But doesn't that barcode say, put this on and weigh it now? That's not true. When it's meat, I buy meat regularly. If I scan a fucking steak, the price comes up on the thing, on the self-checkout.
Well, is he at Walmart?
Yeah, it's Walmart.
Do you go to Walmart?
Maybe, that's what this is specifically. But yeah, maybe he's right. Maybe there isn't a barcode on the meat. I don't know. I don't understand.
My thought was that he was going to scan the cheap steaks.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That's what I thought.
And just get two amounts of steak that weigh the same and put the expensive one in your bed.
My problem with this is I don't understand it. Here's the thing. I don't mind this scam. If he can email us and clarify and make us understand it a little bit more, maybe we can give him a t-shirt. I don't know. Is there anything else, Shannon?
No, that's really it.
Wow.
Did he specify the kind of steak or what? What did he say?
Yeah, he said it was ribeye and sirloin.
Yeah.
But I wonder if it's packaged, like frozen, or...
I'm missing it. In fact, 573 Gasline, if you could explain what this guy is fucking talking about, you might get the Real Ass Podcast Scam That Jew shirt. 573 Gasline. Also, if you have any scams,
or
if you have some steaks, we'll send us steaks. Fucking steak, doggy. You can shoot us a phone call right now. Any scams that you want to add to this? Because I want to give away a free t-shirt, but none of these are very good. None of these are very good right now, okay?
I like the steak guy.
Yeah, it's not great.
All right.
It's not great. I mean, there's been some great ones, Mark. We should also have a collection of all of the real ass scams.
Yeah. What do you got any on the top of the noggin that really
good one? Solid one that I love that we got that was one of the winners was if you want like really nice sheets, go and purchase two sets of sheets. Go
same color, same lowest color. Thread count, highest thread count.
And then just return the shittier sheets in the high quality packaging at the store, and then you keep the really nice sheets for, you know, $20, which could be $100 sheets or whatever.
I like it.
Great scam.
I like it a
great
lot.
Great fucking scam. Love it.
I have Tom on the phone. He said he can explain the scam.
Hey, Tommy!
Tommy boy! You are on the Real Ass Podcast. What's going on, Tom? Explain the scam to me, because we're a little bit confused. Does this guy deserve a fucking free t-shirt for this meat scam?
Yeah, there's other goofy barcodes on this shit.
That's
you're
what
just scanning one that's not a barcode.
Okay, so there's other barcodes
on the price barcode.
Okay, so there's different. Okay, that's fine. All right.
Yeah, then you just hit cancel.
All right, dude, you don't get a Scam That Jew t-shirt, but you can get a Real Ass Podcast mug. Take Tom's information. Okay. He explained it. It's also not a great scam. It's just sort of an okay scam.
That was a scam, calling in to fake explain another scam.
Yeah. If you guys have other scams, 573 Gasline. There's been, we've had so many amazing ones over the years now at this point.
I think that LifeProof case.
LifeProof case is great. LifeProof case.
LifeProof case has a lifetime warranty because it's LifeProof. And on their website, somebody wrote in and was like, if you just say the store that you bought it in,
any store,
they send you a new one for $5 shipping. So we've had fans just buy, getting free life cases and putting them on the
back. I mean, we're really probably scamming LifeProof out of thousands and thousands of dollars of cases.
What is LifeProof?
It's a high-end cell phone case.
Oh, I'll do that later.
Do it right now.
All right.
Sign with Shannon, do me a favor. Get Mark Norman a free LifeProof case
on
the website. Please sign him up really
quick.
Thank
you, Shan.
Very nice. Very nice. All right, so no winner. No winner for this.
It's a good game.
It's not bad.
Scam that!
This is it. All right. All right, what else is going on now in the world? Shannon, what were some of the other topics you sent in to me? Because my computer died and I can't actually see them.
Okay, I have the mom that handed out the bags of candy and earplugs on the plane in the event that our kid cried and annoyed everybody.
Oh.
Wait, what was that? Hold on, tell me what happened here.
Okay, so it was a 10-hour flight that was, I think it was from Seoul to San Francisco. And so the unidentified mom gave away more than 200 small bags of Korean candy, earplugs, and a note apologizing ahead of time for any crying from the baby on the 10-hour flight. I think that's great.
Wow, but Korean candy?
I mean, that's just like from Korea.
That's just like pebbles
to San Francisco.
Yeah.
It was like fucking like lizard legs.
Yeah, right.
This is the candy on the screen.
Soaked in sugar. This woman gave
fucking wax.
Right.
Yeah. On a 10-hour flight from Seoul, Korea to San Francisco.
But that's nice. It's all about the thought and the intention.
I like it. I also just don't like people who complain about kids on flights.
Why? They're brutal. 10 hours.
Because it was since I became a father, like I have a different perspective on it. But forget being a father. If you're not a parent, there was a time in your life where you were a little crying baby on a flight or a bus or something else. Everybody, every one of us at one point was a little crying baby somewhere that was annoying some asshole.
Like you in a dumpster.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
It was annoying rats.
There's
and,
something alive in there.
But how are you, who the fuck are you? Like, you know, like you have to, would you look at that and start to realize like, wait a minute, that was you at one time.
Stop the prom. We found something in the ladies room.
Yeah. That maybe as I've gotten older has become a little bit more of a patient way of looking at things. But yeah. Yeah. You can't complain about kids anymore. Have you ever complained?
No, I've never complained, but I've been there where I'm like one seat in front of the baby, and it's like blood curdling for like hours, and you're going, how could even a baby have this much in him? Like,
yeah.
Put it to bed, put a thing in its mouth, something. You're just losing it.
Yeah, I was on the train the other day coming back from Poughkeepsie, and I was trying to sleep on the train, and a woman came on with her fucking like 2.5-year-old kid, 3-year-old kid, and this kid just... The only way he could communicate was by fucking shrieking.
Yeah.
And the mom...
We're coming from Poughkeepsie back to New York, 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm thinking Hasidic Jews.
No. They were just a straight-up white chick with a cute little kid, too. But I remember the kid would shriek, and like I would give him like a dirty look, And then the mom would look at me, but then I would fake that I'm giving the kid like a nice friendly, like, but it was like this kid. And my problem wasn't with the kid. My problem was with the mom who wasn't really doing anything.
That's all I need. An attempt.
Yeah, just an trying.
Attempt. Yeah.
Just an attempt. That's it. You know, maybe I'm lucky. My kid wasn't really a fucking public, like, you know, freak out kid.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was kind of annoying the other day because I was legitimately, we was sort of a pack train. I'm trying to sleep. I was like, all right, we'll come back. I'll get a little bit of a nap on the train, and it just wasn't fucking happening.
Brutal. You know? They should make a baby area or something.
Yeah.
I guess that'd be too expensive.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, but, you know, I in a weird way, I kind of like traveling. I like being on the process of getting on a plane. I like the process of going to the airport. I get a lot of work done when I travel because there's so much downtime that I just sit there and I have to be on a computer doing something productive.
Yeah.
So it's sort of become a lot easier. Do you have any of those like rewards programs? Do you
Like yeah. That? I'm gold and all that shit. Delta. Yeah. But like I love a train. A train I love. I took a train from Syracuse on Monday to New York. It's like 6 hours and I loved it. I could have flown for 50 minutes and I took the train.
But in a weird way, like it's almost, by the time you get to the airport in Syracuse, you got to leave and, you know, you got to be at the airport an hour and a half early.
Exactly.
So you're in an hour and a half, minimum 2 hours or, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours. You got to get there early. So you have to tack that on in the beginning.
And security's a bitch. Take the laptop out, the shoes off the belt.
Board your flight. You have a little tiny seat. You're uncomfortable. You know, the flight itself is an hour and 10 minutes. Fine. So now you're at 3 hours just to get on the flight, just 3 hours. Now you got to get from the airport home, New York traffic, another hour, an hour and a half.
And get your bag, maybe.
Maybe get your bag.
45
You're talking
minutes.
About minimum to travel anywhere. Minimum, it's 4 hours. I don't give a fuck where you're flying.
I
it's
guess
a
so.
Minimum 4 hours you're traveling anywhere. So,
and it's mental fuck. It's mental stress. You know, you're like, oh, did I get security right? Did I get on my seat okay? Is this, oh, the fat guy's next to me? You know, it's like so much. But with a train, it's, you can walk up and down. There's no
security.
There's
a little liquor car.
Yes,
Amtrak is the fucking best.
The
first time I took Amtrak, I was like, this is the way to travel. And if you're going to travel for less than 8 hours, I think that's the way to go.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if I was going to, definitely over driving, but even with flying, like in a weird way. But the reality is Amtrak's almost as expensive as flying.
I know. That's a new thing.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, trains were for, you know, hobos and Zach's girlfriend.
Yeah.
It was a different time.
Yeah, yeah, I don't mind it. I gotta do a little bit of traveling to Canada.
Does Amtrak go through Canada?
I'm sure, does it?
Or is it a different weirdo Canuck line?
That'd be fun, though, just do an Amtrak up to Toronto.
Yeah.
I bet it goes to Buffalo and then it goes over the border.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know for a fact it goes to
Montreal?
The border. Because when I couldn't get into Canada one time, I had to take an Amtrak back. I was supposed to go open for Dave Attell at a theater in Canada. Couldn't get into the country. Turned around.
Oh, what a nightmare.
Just a fucking 8-hour train ride back by myself thinking about how like my career is over.
Brutal.
Yeah.
They'll never use you again.
Amtrak to Canada. Take Amtrak to Canada. Yeah, of course you can.
Oh, look at that.
I like it.
What about Mexico? Do they have an Amtrak?
Yeah, probably not.
Amtrako? I mean, if Canada, why not the other border, you know?
Where's your what's your favorite place to visit? If you're gonna move anywhere else in the world, Mark Norman, where would you go? If you had to live. Now forget, I shouldn't even say that anymore, because with the internet, you don't actually have to live in New York or LA anymore.
Yeah.
I think that's sort of an old way of thinking for like comedy. If you get to a certain level, if you have enough of a fan base and you can tour and you could, you know, get out there. Look at Nate. Nate lives in fucking Nashville now.
Yeah.
You know?
Sweet house. I went through it.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah, that's tough because you think international, but I like so many American cities. I love San Francisco. I love Portland. I love Denver. I love Austin. But like, I went to Amsterdam, and I know it's hacky, but man, I just felt alive in that city. Have you been to Amsterdam?
Yeah, dude. When I was 21 years old. My mom died when I was in Amsterdam.
Wow. She was that happy you left.
Yeah.
Died of joy. No, but it's just the canals and everybody's good looking and they're smart and the weed and the prostitutes and there's like.
Did you bang
freedom.
A hooker in Amsterdam?
I banged a regular gal. What do you have? A free prostitute.
You know, fuck it.
Yeah, I don't know what you call women.
But yeah, so you didn't do the red light district?
Nah, I was on Tinder then and it was easy. And as an American, you're like exotic and I had a show, so it was like it was fish in a barrel.
When did you go?
This is probably like 4 or 5 years ago.
That's great, though.
Yeah, it was great. And just, I was in a cool hotel, and I was right on the Anne Frank house and all that. It was just fucking great.
That's one of the things that you that you loved about it. Like, I don't know, just the fucking, you could taste the death in the air.
Yes, that Jew bitch. She had it coming.
She, you're just grindering from the Anne Frank house?
Yeah.
You know what? It's funny.
I'm in the attic.
Crawl space.
Didn't they just come out with this information that Anne Frank didn't even write her diary? Her dad wrote most of it?
Well, fucking men, they write all of it. No, I don't know. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, look this up, Shannon. The dad wrote most of the diary as sort of like a you know, publicity thing afterwards. So like, which fine, you know.
Ghostwriter, huh?
He's got to fucking do what he's got to do.
Damn. I guess you'd think, well, like, what is she, 13 or 12? They're not the most, you know, well-written
developed
people.
Oh,
yeah,
wait,
developed.
What are we talking about? Yeah. She's also an ugly little girl.
Well, Jewish. But yeah.
A little Jewy in the face.
Yeah, she was a little Jew in the face.
When they captured her, they were probably like, damn, I was hoping for something a little cuter.
Yeah, I was in the Diary of Anne Frank in high school. I was in the play.
What?
Yeah.
That's a dark play, huh?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I played Crailer, who was one of the people that were hiding the family.
Oh, so you were a good guy.
Yeah, I was a good guy. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Crailer.
That was great. Yeah, really, really good play. Enjoyed it.
All right. It's like a Kramer spinoff. I thought you were going to slide in.
Yeah.
Crailer.
He's a kike. Yeah. He's a kike.
He should be hanging from a tree.
Okay. It says that she did write it, but it was edited by her father, who removed a significant amount of material.
Oh, he took out all the bad jokes.
He edited it? Yeah, because he was probably saying fucked up shit. Like the dad, like, beating the shit out of the mom every day. Why not? Right?
Yeah.
All right.
Fucking Crailer came in.
We're gonna wrap this one up in just a second here. I gotta officially in the process of editing all of the final little touches on my special, which is gonna be available very soon. So I have to make sure that we, by 12:30, I get on the computer. So we're gonna wrap this one up. Mark Norman, you are the fucking man. We love having you on the show. Make sure you guys go to marknormancomedy.com.
Hey, love being here, and thanks for having me, and good talking, good chat.
Yeah,
today.
always a great chat. Love having you on the show. Make sure you guys go support Mark Norman and all of his endeavors. Look out for the special coming out very soon. I'm very excited about it, guys. I think I'm getting the final version of it any moment now, so I'm excited to go watch that and see how everything looks and sounds. And that's that. We'll check you guys on Friday with the Real Ass Podcast. Peace.
That's all, folks.